we found here a while back. It's real cute.
Smoky Mountains. Yeah.
Chapter 3, The Third World Suite.
Just a little white
Close to his neighbor was approximately a mile away, and there wasn't many families in there, so, and everybody was just like family, you know, the whole way everybody lived in the area. We'd go pick beans all day, and then all the rest of the neighbors, they would gather in the next day and help us work them beans up. We'd can beans, we'd dry beans, and we'd pickle beans. We didn't pickle beans like they do today in a quart jar. We put them in a 55-gallon oak barrel. And corn, we pickled it the same way. Kraut, we had a 35-gallon barrel for sauerkraut. So I guess we lived just about like the pioneers did.
That's something that always moved me when about this part of the country, that it's so near and yet, you know, it's so much like the beginnings.
So much like the beginnings, and yet so modern, too, yeah, to what it was when I was growing up. See, they didn't even have highways in this part of the, well, in the part of Smith where I was raised at when I was growing up. All they had was wagon roads. They were still, a lot of people still used the horse and wagon. And back where we lived out in the mountains, there wasn't anything like that.
Ever since it began, I had this question. What does the title of the movie Harlan County, USA mean? Exactly. Because, I mean, it does not mean that all the USA is like Harlan County. To some people, and maybe in the intention of the authors, it's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. How can such a place exist in the United States?
I guess we was just about like the Indians back in the mountains where we was raised at.
In what ways?
Oh, we just, you know, we just hunted and fished, and we raised all what we eat from just a hillside farm, and used horses, didn't have a tractor or anything. I have no automobile. Where we went, we walked. We'd walk from where we lived at into Rose Hill, Virginia, and carry our food back either on our back or on a horse or a mule one. So
you're talking about the 40s.
I'm talking about 40s and 50s. Yeah. So in the 50s, well, we made moonshine, sold it. During the summer, we'd pick huckleberries, blackberries, sell them. The huckleberries we carry into Virginia, sell for $1 a gallon. The blackberries, we only got a quarter a gallon, but we get enough, you know, money from that to buy clothes and some food for the winter. Mostly what we bought for in the food line was cornmeal and lard, beans, soup beans, what we call pinto beans. We call them soup beans yet to today. So it was a rough life, but a good life.
Well, I had the microphone off, of course.
Okay.
Okay. So, Lowell Wagner, and you live in Jackson.
I live in Jackson County, right.
Okay. And you were here in...
I came here in 19... I came to Harlan County in 1968. Mm-hmm. And I actually came here to work on with the Vistas or the mm-hmm. Appalachian Volunteers back in 1968, but I was originally from Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I felt a real kinship between this part of the United States and the third world culture that I experienced in the Peace Corps. I like, there was a lot more personal relations, things were slower, people seemed more interested in how they related to one another than they might have in the mainstream culture. Those were the things, I guess, that attracted me. And just the physical beauty of the place, although I knew that there were some things like wherever you had coal controlling things, you had environmental things like pollution and strip mining and stuff that, you know, were sort of detrimental to the way people live.
She was part Cherokee, wasn't she?
Yes, yes, she's part Cherokee, and I got Cherokee coming in on both sides, my mother's side and dad's side too, so I guess I'm still a lot, in a way, like pioneers. I like to hunt and fish. I raise a lot of my own food that I eat. When, like I said, when I was a kid, we was raised just about like the pioneers. It was I guess they'd call it a third world country. But we loved it. We may not have had much, but we had love.
As for being an Italian doing this, I got all sorts of reactions. It's the first thing that people told me as soon as I started doing this Appalachian thing. For one thing, why are you studying Appalachia and why aren't you studying Las Vegas, Hollywood? And my sense was that Americans have been studying us, and of course they do expect us to study you, but not the way you study us. We're being studied on the one hand, and on the other hand we should learn from America.
We diagnose you.
Yes.
And you emulate us is the
right,
the traditional formula.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And, I mean, God knows, we need diagnosis, and there's a lot to emulate. But, on the other hand, you need some diagnosis too, although I'm not, that's not what I'm here for. But, that's the other great thing that Mildred told me. My friend Mildred Shackelford, she's a woman miner. She's a poet, she's a political organizer, but she said, because I asked her, I said, look, what am I doing right?
I'm in a position to tell it.
Why are people talking
anything?
To me?
I'll tell you something else that makes a lot of
she
difference.
She says, well, for...
You're not
first
from
of all,
the United States.
You're not from New York.
You're not from New York.
You're not from Chicago.
You're not from Chicago.
You're not from Lexington.
You're
not
from
Louisville.
You're not from Lexington. You're not.
I said, okay, I'm not from where.
I'm not from where the power comes from.
That's right.
And then another thing.
And immediately you see that. Well, I formulated this in an article once. It's called Two Peripheries Talking to Each Other. Yeah. And. And it's a strange definition of peripheries because, you know, Rome, after all, is not exactly, it's not Caput Mundi, it's not the center of the world anymore. But, and on the other hand, these people may be marginal, but they're United States. So it's both, it's contradictory there. And then she went on
and
she said,
and another
also,
thing I think that would probably,
you don't have anything to
if you were from Wales, and you were a coal miner, and you come to
she says,
County and you were talking to those people. No,
if you were a coal miner from Wales,
and
you were
well,
telling us about mine safety,
all you're doing is trying to gather a little knowledge or find out something.
But you're
or get
only
people
listening
to tell you stories.
To us.
And they don't
you're only
that.
To get. You're only trying to gather a little knowledge.
Enjoy talking.
Mm-hmm. They do.
And so, ultimately, you know, I've talked about field work as an experiment in equality, and that's what it turned out to be. That's what it turned out to be. That the reason I was able to have access to something, not to others, not to other, was that there was no sense of me being superior. Uh, basically because I was Italian. Of course, on the other hand, anybody who's a who's from across the water is a Russian or a communist, but that didn't come up much. So so that was I've never put it this way, but it's really been an experiment in equality, in because I don't have any power over them. On the other hand, they don't know that the Italian state oil conglomerate Eni owns coal mines in Kentucky and uses non-union labor and all sorts of terrible things.
Does it?
Yes. Yes.